Got a little Lucy in here.
Yeah.
And Sarah.
Brother Ed loves you, you know that?
Amen. It's good. Or Wednesday night, usually we don't have me and Brother Ed, here we are. Got all kind of people here. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to try to sing number 210.
Okay.
And I did say try to sing it. I'm not a song leader. I can't sing.
I can't read this book.
I can make a melody in my heart.
Yeah, that's what I'm
You want to pray with these? Oh, you got glasses.
Yeah, I got glasses. I just can't read that fine writing.
All right. We're going to try to sing number 210. I don't know what key it is. I don't know nothing about music. Here we go.
Okay.
I have heard of a land on the faraway strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we never grow old, never grow old, never grow old. In a land where we'll never grow old, never grow old. In that beautiful home, where we'll never more roam, we shall be in that sweet by and by. Happy praise to the King, through eternity sing. 'Tis a land where we never shall die, never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old, never grow old. Never grow old.
I was listening for sure. I didn't hear.
When our work here is done, and our life crown is won, and our troubles and trials are o'er, all our sorrow will end, and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone on before. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. Never. Never grow old.
We didn't do such a bad job, brother.
Well, thank God for a place like that. We're growing old down here. I'm watching leaves fall off of trees. I'm watching trees turn.
Yeah.
I'm constantly being reminded that we're just like them. Man, the leaves are falling. I grabbed a branch this afternoon that the wind had broke. And I gave it a big yank, broke a limb off, and I thought, well, I grabbed it and pulled again, broke another limb off. That third time I grabbed it, fell this, and I pulled it, hit me in the hand, hit me in the arm, and I took my whooping like a man. I said, well, I'll be smarter next time.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. We want to have a word of prayer tonight for the service, and we got several people here that will want to remember. And I heard from Brother Mark last night, And he's doing a little better. Said he should be able to be here this Sunday. And he said he was up to the asking if he could preach the homecoming. He said he was up to the task. So he's going to, if nothing don't change, he's going to be the one to preach the homecoming.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to a good spiritual meal.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to a good physical meal.
Right.
Sit down, have some good fellowship. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren can dwell together in unity. And we do have a Holy Spirit that unifies us in the Spirit of God. If it wasn't for that unity of the Holy Spirit, I don't believe we could stay together. Amen. But we want to remember several people here. Brother Charles Smith, he done graduated this life, gone home to be with the Lord. But we want to remember his family. And we want to remember Sister Joanne Smith. And we want to remember Billy, Bonnie's son. We want to remember Jill Davis. Brother Ed got a chance to go down there and see her.
Yes.
Had good fellowship with her. Brought back a good report.
Yes.
One member, Sharon's neighbor. I believe it was Star mentioned about they had a family member that or a neighbor, maybe a friend, that had lost a family member. One member of that family. One member, Sister Tammy. Carolyn mentioned about, I don't know if it was her shoulder or what, but she wasn't feeling well. We pray for Sister Tammy. We pray for many more on here. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, Lord. We humbly, Lord, bow our heart. Come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, you said we could come boldly to the throne of grace by that new and living way that Jesus made at Calvary. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, already for what you've already done, for blessings, Lord, that couldn't be numbered for multitude. We thank you, Father, for that good report, Brother Ronnie Lindsay, Brother Patrick's dad. Pray, Lord, also you continue blessings upon him, Lord. We pray for his wife also. Father, we pray, Lord, for Robert. We pray, Lord, for Kay. Pray for Tammy. Pray for Brenda, her health. Pray for Sister Joanne Smith. Lord, we pray for Carol that was injured by Gates falling at the workplace.
Yeah.
Lord, we want to continue to remember Sarah and Patrick and their children, Mark and Miranda, and their children. We want to remember the young people of the day, Brother Mitchell and Sister Phyllis, Patty, James's wife. Thank you, she was able to be here last Sunday. We want to pray for Billy's health. We want to continue to pray for Brother Mark and Sister Kay. Lord, we're glad that Mark's doing better. And he said that Kay was doing somewhat better. We want to pray for Sister Jill Davis and all of that family. We want to pray for Sharon's neighbor. I think she said they had a death in the family. I believe that's right, a father passed away. We pray, Lord, also for Sister Star. She requested prayer for a family that had lost a family member. I think it also was a father. Lord, we want to pray, Lord, Father, for Brianna, for Bonnie,
yeah,
for Mark and Kay, Lord, for Bonnie's mother, Tyler. We want to pray for all of these, Lord. They had a bout with COVID. And Lord, we want to pray, Lord, Father, for our services tonight.
Yeah.
And we want to pray for our upcoming homecoming service, 18th.
Yeah.
We want to pray for Brother Lee Watts, who's going to be here the 11th. Lord, we're looking forward to that. And Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for all you do in this little church. Thank you for the people that are watching online. Thank you, Father, for those that are here tonight. We ask your blessings upon these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say this real quick, as nice as I can. I got a phone call yesterday in the form of a complaint. I'm okay with it, but I really wish I hadn't got it. But it was someone that had been on our church's webpage. I guess it would be our Facebook webpage. I'm not real familiar with what they were talking about. But they made the issue. We profess to be a King James Bible Church, and I'm dogmatic about the King James Bible.
Yeah.
But there have been some postings on there. They said it wasn't King James, and I told them, I said, look, hey, you got a controversy, take it up with me. These are sheep, and I know, no ill intention. I get cards all the time. It's got NIV verses in them. Got New International Version. You know what I do? I just thank God somebody had me on their heart, sent me a card.
That's right.
But when it comes to straining gnats and swallowing camels, they're making an issue about our church's webpage. And I would like to stress, we don't need to give any opportunity for anybody to make any kind of a reproach. I would strive to find scriptures out of the King James Bible. It really surprised me to get the phone call, but I want to relay that. If you could put King James Bible verses with your postings, it makes a difference. For one thing, you're giving honor and glory to God. And another thing is, there's a lot of confusion out there, and God's not the author of confusion.
No.
We're begotten by the Word. I'm born again by the Word. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible things, silver and gold, but by the Word of God. And I am born again, and I am dogmatic about the King James Bible. Amen.
Yes, I am too, and I believe I'd ask them, do you have one of these new version Bibles? Or the reason you know that it was... printed out of that?
Just let it run off my back, brother.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing to do.
Yeah.
You're right.
I didn't want to really get into a word salad.
Why would they do something like that?
I just said, hey, them sheep. I'll tell you right now, I won't preach out anything but a King James Bible.
No, you do not.
I'll quote it if I ain't got one. Amen.
That's right.
Psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And that's what I did. I put God's word in my heart.
That's right.
We finished up Job chapter number 8 last week.
Yes, you did.
We're starting in Job chapter 9. I can't believe how popular the teaching of Job. They've been downloaded more than any messages we got on the website.
Yeah.
And we're thankful for that, but it must be a lot of trouble out there, a lot of people struggling.
Yeah.
But Job here, he's answering the accusation of Bildad that's accused him of being a hypocrite. And says Job answers Bildad, he's a sinner and knows not how to be justified, but not a hypocrite. This chapter right here, Job answered and said, I know it's so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Now remember, Job before Calvary, oh by the way, I'm kind of glad that I just said that. I just found out that the schools are going to change B.C., which means before Christ. They're going to change that to BCE, which stands for before common era, and AD is going to be replaced by CE, which stands for common era. Boy, we are losing it as a nation, and just little things like that, they go a long way.
Yes, they do.
And I would to God they'd leave some things alone. The Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Talks about remove not the ancient landmarks, and that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But Job here says, I know in his soul of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Like I said, he's asking a legitimate question, but it was before Calvary. So let's look at Romans chapter 3 and figure out how man can be just before God.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I am. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Romans chapter 3, verse 23 shows us the problem. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, there's a lot of people think they walk on the water, think they don't sin. My wife brought that accusation to me one day. She said, I'm not like you. I don't sin. And the Bible tells us plainly, that if we say we have no sin, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8,
yes,
we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Before April 27th, 1988, old Brother Eddie was a sinner. But look at verse 24. Being justified. Now, I didn't do that myself. Being justified freely by His grace. He had grace on me. I deserved hell.
That's right.
But I got heaven. How'd you get it, Brother Eddie? Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'm in Romans chapter 3, verse 24. And then it goes on to explain this great redemption. Verse 25. Whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God.
Yeah.
Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. Now, the reason I'm righteous before God is not because of my righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. That He might be just. God is just no matter what. He's not going to bypass His word. That He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now that's old Brother Eddie. I believed in Jesus 34 years ago. I got a refuge for my soul. I got my sins under blood. I got my name in the book. And now I'm a citizen of that country. I get guilty every now and then voting because I'm actually not of this country no more. My citizenship is heaven. But Paul goes on to say, verse 27, where is boasting then? It's excluded. You see, Christ is the only one that gets the praise. I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything, really. He gave it to me by grace because I believed Him to forgive me. I believed Him to save me. And He done just exactly what I asked and what I needed Him to do. He said, by what law of works? I can't change myself. I was in over my head going down for the third time. I was like Peter that said, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
And immediately the hand of the Lord went forth and pulled him up out of the water. But we conclude, verse 28, that a man, that's me, is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now it brought the word about the law in there, so go to Romans chapter 10 and we're going to read verse 4. And the Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, I couldn't measure up to the law, but Christ could. He kept it. He never broke it. He was sinless. He was perfection. And He made the captain of my salvation perfect through suffering. I want to read one more place here. Then we'll go back to Job. Paul made a statement here in the book of Philippians.
Yeah.
Paul here, he's about as pedigree can be for salvation apart from Christ. And he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, though I might have confidence in the flesh. Paul could have confidence in the flesh. He was pretty clean. He said, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I more. He said, I circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Now, I want you to know, that's some pretty good credentials. But look here at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Yeah.
Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Paul counted all that he'd achieved nothing but dung for Christ. He said, verse 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Mm-hmm. Now Job here asked a question, how can a man be just with God? You can be just with God if you have His Son. His Son is our justification.
Amen.
He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's about as clear as I know how to put it.
Amen.
That's in 1 John.
Yes.
I think it's chapter 5. Maybe not. Well, come on, Eddie. I should have underlined that or highlighted it or something. Here we go. It's 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12. Now, we'll underline this. Man, I got a new Bible. It ain't new no more, but I ought to have more stuff in it marked here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now this next verse right here, these things have I written unto you, God wrote you this right here, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God wants you to know you got eternal life.
Yeah.
Alright, Job here, even though Christ hadn't been to Calvary, he actually knows more than he discloses. We'll find that out here later on. But Job said this, he answered and said, I know it's of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Through Calvary, through God's Son, and the sacrifice of His Son. Verse 3, he says, if he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. I like that statement, one of a thousand. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 28. That same word is found there. I thought about that when I was looking over this. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 28. It says, behold, this I found, saith the preacher. Verse 27, count one by one, to find out the account which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not one man among a thousand have I found. Job used that same analogy right here in verse 3. He mentioned, he is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who have hardened himself against him and have prospered. You're just not going to dethrone God. You're not going to be above God. The devil thought he would. And he got brought down. And anybody that has the same mind as the devil will be brought down too. But in Isaiah chapter 14, it says, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I notice he never did ask for this. He just said, I will. Verse 15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms? The devil might be mighty, but he's not almighty.
No.
I think it was Jesus that mentioned, it's either Luke 10 or Luke 18. See if I can find this real quick. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Well, that helps a bunch. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Mm-hmm. So we realize that even the devil couldn't contend with God, much less man.
Right.
But Job makes that statement here, and it is true. You can't fight with God. You can't win. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can surrender and find mercy. Mm-hmm. You can repent and be received. You can humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time.
Right.
Job goes on again talking about God, which removeth mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in His anger. You know, it's not nothing God can't do.
Amen.
But I'm glad He's on my side, Brother Ed. I'm glad if God be for you, who can be against you? I've got somebody, amen, got my back,
yeah.
Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. I mean, when God came down on Mount Sinai, it melted. I mean, the people melted, but the mountain, oh, it shook. Fire came down. Verse 7, which commanded the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spread out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. You know, every time I look up there, of course, everybody's looking for UFOs now. They're trying to find something else to make propaganda out of.
Yeah.
Every time I look up there, Brother Ed, I've realized somebody put them stars up there.
That's right.
And the Lord put them up there. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Every time I look up there, I know man didn't put them up there.
No.
I know they didn't get there by accident. And not only that, somebody makes them shine at night. You don't see them in the daytime. You only see them at night.
Yeah.
And the Lord put that big star, the sun, up there for the daytime to rule in the day, and that little one, the moon, to rule at night.
Yeah.
And He alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. I only know one that put footprints on the ocean or on the sea, and that was Jesus Christ. He come walking on the water. They thought He was a ghost, and it was just Him. There was no restraint with Him. He could do anything He wanted to.
Yeah.
Which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, Pleiades in the chambers of the south. Now that Orion, I want to say a little bit about that. Let me see if I can remember where that's at. Let's see. It's one of the minor prophets. I think it's Joel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Amos.
Okay.
In Amos, chapter 5, verse 8, it makes a reference to Orion. It says, seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death in the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is His name. Now, that's seven stars and Orion. Of course, you know we're all going with science nowadays. But science thought this was a mistake in the Bible, because they could only find six stars of Orion. Now, let's just use our little carnal mind here just a minute. We know that Peter said that the Scriptures came in old time not by the will of man, but by the will of God.
Amen.
Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, the reason I read that is because Amos wrote about seven stars.
Yeah.
Even with the strongest telescope, the most powerful telescope, they could only see six. Therefore, it was determined that there was a mistake made in the Bible. And that held true till somebody lost a Hubble telescope and it went up in outer space. And then they realized out of the sight of man's ability, but with that Hubble telescope, they actually saw seven stars of Orion. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
That God not only sent His Word, and it's beyond man, some of the stuff that's wrote in here, man can't reach it. Man can't achieve it. God gave it to man. And we would we'd do well to give the most earnest heed to seek out of it. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Verse 10, which doeth great things past finding out. You know, when God does something, Romans 11, verse 33 says that when God does something, it's past finding out. Let me turn that real quick. I'm actually going somewhere else. Something come to my mind there. Really good. Chapter 11, verse 33. His ways are past finding out. Just wanted to read that real quick.
Yeah.
But Ecclesiastes, I believe it is. I'll be lucky to find this. I may have to back off of this. When God does something, it can't be added to nor taken away from. Let me see if I can possibly find that. Calvary is like that. You can't add to it.
Nope.
And you can't take away from it.
That's right.
Calvary was a finished work.
Yes, it was. And I think you're right. I think it's found in Ecclesiastes.
Yeah. It says, we know that when God does something, that you can't add to it and you can't take away from it.
Right.
And I don't have my little Franklin, my little pea brain here, is looking. But the Scripture says we know that when God does something, you can't add. Here we go. Found it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever.
Amen.
Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taketh from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him.
Yes, that's right.
Calvary's like that.
Yes, it is.
The earth shook. A centurion soldier smote his breast and said, truly this was the Son of God.
Yes.
Let's see here. Let's do something else here real quick. Job 37. We'll jump ahead here just a little bit. Verse 7 of Job 37, talking about God.
Mm-hmm.
He sealeth up the hand of every man that all men may know his work. Now every atheist looking him right in the face is the endorsement of his creator upon the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
That fingerprint, just like the snowflakes, no two alike. Amen?
The
FBI know all about it. They'll track you with that fingerprint. Amen? He says, verse 11, lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. And Jesus mentioned that woman in John 4, that God was a spirit.
Yeah.
And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Right.
And He said also, you worship, you know not what. And you know, a lot of people fit that.
Mm-hmm.
But in St. John chapter 4, verse 24, it mentions about God being a spirit. And Jesus also told Nicodemus about the spirit. He said, that which is spirit.
Yeah.
And He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth.
Right.
So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. That's in St. John chapter 3, verse 8. And the others in St. John chapter 4, verse 24. But Job here said he couldn't perceive that the Lord had passed by. But yet God has given us of His Spirit.
Yeah.
Now you talking about making a difference, buddy. Hey, I got included in this thing.
Right.
And I believe it's Romans chapter 8.
Yes, Moses was Sarah.
Amen. Our spirit bears witness with his spirit. I might be in Corinthians. But God gave us of his spirit, and our spirit, I went the wrong way, bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God.
Yeah.
Well, come on, Eddie. But thank God for that witness of the Holy Spirit. You see, I didn't know God. The Bible said the world by wisdom knew not God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, mentions a little bit about this, but I'm not finding the scripture I'm looking for. It says God has revealed among us by his Spirit, so that's how we can perceive.
Yeah.
Is by the help of the Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit teaches all things, teaches the truth. And, I need to sharpen my sword. I'll tell you that right now. I thought I knew what this was.
Blessing God. You know what? It's a familiar scripture, too, ain't it?
Yeah. I thought it was in Romans.
Yeah, I thought it was, too. Go to Romans 10 or something. Oh, no. It's a familiar scripture, though.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go back to Romans. I might have missed it. But that Spirit of God helps us to have
exactly.
Relationship.
Yes.
And to be able to perceive the Spirit of God also. Let's see here. It says in Romans 8:16. For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But that's not exactly the one I was looking for.
I know.
But I know it said he gave us of his Spirit, and his Spirit bears, well, that might be it. But that spiritual witness, see, we have that. Job didn't have that. He said, lo, he passeth by me, and I see him not. And I might not see him, but I felt his presence
right.
By the Spirit and the witness of the Spirit.
Amen.
He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Verse 12, behold, he taketh away, and who can hinder him? Job done buried 10 children, and Job had enough sense to say, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
Yeah.
And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's what you need to learn to do.
Right.
Everything that we've got in this life, everything. I mean, even your faculty, everything we've got,
yes.
God give it to us.
That's right.
To use, to enjoy,
yes.
And also, you know, to help others in the way.
Right.
Nobody can tell God, what are you doing here? He said, behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Best thing you can do is just praise the Lord for every breath and every
Amen.
Day you get.
Right.
And I tell you what, the Bible says, in him is length of days. You want to live a long life? Stay close to him. Amen. Don't get out there in the far country. There is a sin unto death. I mentioned that last Sunday. I believe it was Sunday night. And he said, I do not say that you should pray for it. What you should do is abstain from all appearance of sin. Walk before the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Be a blessing. Verse 13, if God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him.
Yeah.
How much less shall I answer him
yeah.
and choose out my words to reason with him? I like what Job said right there. Our words don't impress God. It's good. I remember one time I was praying, and I actually didn't. This didn't come out of my mind that I was going to say this. I think it came out of my heart. I just know when I said it, it broke my heart. And I didn't say anything for about an hour, just weeping before God.
Wow.
But as I was praying, Brother Ed, I said, Lord, I said, forgive me for the times that I've been less than your expectations of me. And boy, I mean the weight of what I said
yeah.
fell on me, and it broke me. And I wept. I realized, you know, God deserves much better than what I give.
Oh, sure. sure.
But when those words come out of my mouth, Job here says, choose out my words to reason with him. I didn't even know that I was going to say that, but when the words come out of my mouth, the weight of what I said fell on me, and I couldn't get a word out for a long time. Verse 15, whom though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with a tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause. Now Job here is in a pitiful estate.
Yeah.
His friends, they don't understand the suffering he's going through. Only God does. But he's physically just destroyed. I mean, he said worms, and he's scraping himself with a piece of broken pottery. No comfort, no relief. And he mentions here about, you know, his suffering here. He said, he breaketh me with a tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath. He's struggling, Brother Ed, even to breathe. But filleth me with bitterness. You know, when you get so far down, and Job's there, you don't enjoy life. Me and Brother Ed was talking earlier about turning thanks over food.
Yeah.
And I didn't used to be one that did ask God's blessing on what I eat, just like a dog, just sit down and eat.
Yeah.
But now I thank the Lord for what's before me, and I thank Him for the health and the appetite to be able to enjoy what's before me. And I cooked my wife some cabbage today, put some peppers and onions and bacon in there, and she wanted some tomatoes in there and some corn in there, and I have to admit it smelled pretty good, but I only made enough for her. So I just took it to her and she wolfed it down. She had everything but a spoon.
Wow.
But it smelled good. He said, I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? You know, in his presence, we just need mercy.
Yes.
And I'm glad there is mercy to be found, mercy to be had. Job says, if I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. I hope a lot of people hear what I just read right there.
Yeah.
We don't want to justify ourselves. We want the Lord to justify us in His sight. He said, if I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. He said, though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. This one thing, therefore, I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. We know the Bible said God reigns on the just, on the unjust. But when it comes to perfection, He made the captain of our salvation perfect. And I thank God for that. I had a perfect sacrifice. Got a perfect salvation. Have a perfect rapture. And I just thank God for what He did. Not what we've done, but what He's done. He done everything perfect. Couldn't be spoke against. Even Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. Verse 23, if the scourge slay suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. You know, it does seem like, you know, all the rich people, you know, they're a liberal, God-hating tyrants. I don't know. It does seem like, you know, the earth is given to the hand of the wicked. I get a little bit sometimes discouraged. But you know what? He gave us heaven, and this is not our home, so we don't need to pay much attention. The Bible mentioned about what would it profit a man though he gained the whole world and lost his soul. And he does give us, seem like, everything to people that don't deserve it. The Bible talks about the goodness of God leads men to repentance, but I don't think they ever do. But he covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? The Lord He's right in everything he does. Job says, verse 25, "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away and they see no good." Job is not enjoying this suffering. He's not enjoying the accusations of his friend. He's not enjoying his circumstances. And he says, you know, my life is just passing by swifter than a post. That's somebody that's delivering like news. A post is someone that's got a message to deliver.
Right.
And they're in a hurry to deliver it. But he says, "They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteneth to the prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I'm afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain?" And some of this stuff that Job is saying, we might be surprised to see ourselves talking like this if we was in the condition that he's in. He said, "If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean..." You know, I don't want snow water. I thank God for the blood of God's Son, Jesus.
Yeah.
It cleanses me from all sin.
Right.
Snow water, I've heard, will clean you. And I don't know the explanation for that, but I've heard snow water will clean you cleaner than regular water.
Mm.
Said, "Yet shall thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For it is not in a man, no, for he is not in a man as I am, that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment." You know, I couldn't stand before God and give my testimony, give my my complaint or maybe my plea. But Jesus could. He went to the mercy seat. He went and put His blood on the mercy seat. And now He's my advocate. He goes to God on my behalf. He goes up there and, "Father, that Eddie, he's sinned again down there and I want you to forgive him. I love the old boy. I died for him. I paid for his sins." And the Bible says that we're accepted in the Beloved because of Him. The Father loved the Son and given all to Him. And I can't go to God in judgment, but He can
right.
on my behalf. Verse 33, "Neither is there any daysman between us that might lay his hand upon us both." That's kind of like a referee, like, no hitting below the belt at the count of three or whatever, and they take your hand off and they go at it.
Yeah.
That day's money is kind of like the referee, that he might lay his hand upon us both to have a fair fight. Says, "But let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it's not so with me." Job is as low can go.
That's right.
I'm telling you, he's choosing his words carefully here.
Yes.
And when we get to heaven, Brother Ed, I guess I'm going to have a little talk with Job. And I want to get his side.
Yeah.
I know he's saying a lot of stuff here, but it's over my head.
Yeah.
And Job is...
I knew it would be.
He's continuing in his complaint. And he says to Bildad, "My soul is weary of my life." In other words, Job said, "I'm not enjoying being alive. I'd rather be dead."
That's right.
He said, "I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." I mean, in Job's situation, there's nothing he can do about his circumstances. He said in verse 2, "I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me." Job said, "Just give me a clue why I'm going through this."
Yeah.
He don't even have a clue why he's in this predicament. He said in verse 3, it's good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked. No, is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress? I said it's good. I read that wrong.
Yeah.
Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thy hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Job here is looking like, you know, they've got it better than I have. He said, hast thou eyes of flesh? For or seest thou as man seeth? I know, I think it's in the book of Psalms that says, he that formed the eye, shall he not see? And God, he formed the eye, formed the ear, and we're made in his likeness.
Right.
Job here says, hast thou eyes of flesh? Or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? That thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin. Job here, he's admitted he's a sinner.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm not a hypocrite.
No.
He said, thou knowest that I'm not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thy hand. And both those statements are true.
Yeah.
He said, thy hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou doest destroy me. Job here, he's made some tremendous statements here. He said, Lord, you made me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not an atheist. He said, Lord, you made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou destroyest me. He just don't understand his dilemma here. He says, remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and will thou bring me into dust again? He knows that he was created from the dust of the ground. He's making some great statements here. A lot of people today, they think they evolved. They think, you know, somehow fell out of a tree and tail fell off. They started walking upright. Job saying, Lord, I know you made me.
Yeah.
I know you fashioned me. And he says, you're going to bring me back into dust again. God told Adam, from dust thou was taken, and unto dust shall thou return. In Genesis chapter 3, I believe, that's kind of what Job's saying here. God said this to Adam. Well, I'll find it here in a minute. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. God told Adam, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art. Boy, that helps a lot of ego right there.
Yeah, just...
And unto the dust, or unto dust, shalt thou return. And Job here says, verse 9, I believe it is, will thou bring me into dust again? And hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? I mean, he's been through it, buddy.
Yeah.
Talking about going through the meal, brother Ed, he's going through it.
Yes,
he says, thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with bones and sinew. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation have prevented my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me for mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore see thou mine affliction. Job just asking God to look upon him in mercy. He said, I don't understand my circumstances. I'm full of confusion. Therefore see thou mine affliction. For it increases, thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me, and increaseth thine imagination. Oh, I'm sorry. And increaseth thine indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. I'm telling you, Job, he's putting it pretty good. Description of his circumstances here. He says, wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. Again, he wished he never even been born. He said, I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Mm-hmm. And a lot of children are in that circumstance. They don't never get to ride a bicycle. They don't never get to fly a kite. They don't never get to go fishing or anything because of abortion. And Job here says in his case it'd be better off if he'd never been born.
Right.
Verse 20, are not my days few? Cease then, let me alone that I may take comfort a little. Job just wants a little comfort. And you know, when you get in the position Job's in, you're going to talk like Job's
That's right.
That's right. He's not letting up. He's presenting himself to God, appealing for mercy. He said, before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, where the light is as darkness. Now, Job just gave you a good description of the shadow of death.
Yeah.
And he said the light there is as darkness, and there the shadow of death, the land of darkness, is as darkness itself. And I don't know about y'all, but when it gets dark, I want a light. I want to turn the flashlight. I want to flip a switch. I don't like to be in darkness.
No.
But Job here gives a good description of the darkness of the shadow of death. And, you know, down there he said, where the light is as darkness. I believe it's one of the parables the Lord said, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
I don't want darkness. I'm telling you, buddy, I'm going to that city of light. I'm a child of God, a child of light. I like light. I don't like darkness. But we'll stop right there at the end of Job chapter number 10. Anybody got any comment or any questions or anything?
I was in darkness for years.
Me too, brother.
I was in darkness for 34 years. And then the light came on.
Amen. Been in light ever since.
Been in light ever since. That's right.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
All right. We'll stop right there. And...